This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for the hard-hitting analysis you won't find anywhere else.
Victory! Cowboys win!
This is Love of the Star.
Welcome on into Love of the Star. Zach Wilczek alongside the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus in, of course, his LSU Tiger Purple. Go Tigers! We're getting closer and closer to college football season, baby. We got the coaches all out. We're here to talk Cowboys football. And thank you so much for making us a part of your day. We had a joint scrimmage against the Rams. And the Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones standoff really seems like it's had no movement. Brian, where would you like to start? Should we start real football or should we start the off-the-field business?
Oh, go ahead and start the real football. I think that would be the best thing to do right now. I think that's what people are worried about. I think people are probably tired of the Micah Parsons stuff, but I'm sure we'll address it at some point in time. But let's talk about what was done on the field yesterday.
Yeah, it is getting tiresome, but I was excited because I think, like, for me, the reason why I kind of think I'm going to lean picking the Rams to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl this year is they've got one of the best defensive fronts in all of the National Football League. Jared Verse and Brandon Fisk, both out of Florida State, we were high on both those kids. I love Fisk. I thought he should have been a first rounder, but then you have Byron Young. You've got Kobe Turner. Puna Ford is a guy that is probably one of the more underrated D linemen. So I was excited. Okay, how do the Cowboys' offensive line look against this Rams defensive front? And from the clips and the takeaways, I know both of us were probably up last night talking to people like, hey, what'd you think?
Yeah.
It did seem as though it might have been a rocky start at first for the Cowboys' line.
Yeah, it did. And the clips are all we have right now, but we have the eyes from the folks who were at the practice. And like you, I did talk to some people. It appeared that it was described to me as one team had an idea of what they wanted to do movement-wise up front, and another team looked like they were trying to install an offense is what it really looked like. And the Rams, as you mentioned, their defensive line is good. It's active. It's got some size to it. But where it gave Dallas some problems is some of the exchange stuff that they were doing, the twist game stuff. And these are things that you can game plan. The Cowboys during the practice, Matt Eberflus runs some twist game stuff. But it appeared that the Rams were really into working on their stuff that way. And so that gave the Cowboys some problems. The movement, I heard initially, there were some issues, in the running game. They were not as good as they needed to be getting to second level. There were some problems where they got there kind of sideways, that they didn't hit square in some instances. And they weren't able to do what they needed to do necessarily to run the ball. There was one time, one clip we saw where I think it was Williams that had, they had a really good block. They got second level They got second level with TJ Bass. And now it's a, you know, see, that's the kind of plays that they're capable of doing. But the Rams movement gave them some problems initially, but then I was told things kind of settled down as we went. I know when I was on air yesterday with Blake Elliott, we were watching, it looked like a red zone period or a goal line period. And Hunter Lipke had a nice run and for a touchdown. And I think Williams had a run that would have been a touchdown that was able, they got it blocked up front pretty well. So good with the bad. We didn't see all the plays. So it's, you know, that's the difficult part. I'd love to sit down and watch the game film, or actually the practice film, and kind of see. I'm sure there were some instances where they were good at getting what they needed done. But it appeared that a lot of doom and gloom was being talked about. And I my own personal experience of watching that practice myself, it's on two separate fields. So you got to pick a field, you know, or you got to pick a spot where you could see both fields.
Right.
And that's, you know, sometimes if you just sit with the offense, you might get you get that offensive experience, but you go and you don't do any defensive stuff. Then, you know, there's some things that defensively that the Cowboys did that was probably pretty good. So I think you have to kind of take it that way. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, long year, offensive line, defensive line, terrible. Yeah, there was a play, the one clip that's making a big around the Twitter world is the Kyren Williams run. Sam Williams was bad on the play. Yeah, Sam Williams was, and that's something we kind of talk about with Sam Williams. Can he play run defense well enough? Can he take on blocks? Can he be a point of attack player? That was the bad. You know, there was probably some good along the way too that we didn't see where they were stopping. You know, maybe I heard that Solomon Thomas, I heard Ezeraku was kind of involved in some stuff. Damone Clark, Leofau, I heard some positive things from those guys. We didn't see those clips. So, you know, that's where you got to kind of be careful if you're a Cowboy fan. Make sure that there were some bad plays, sure, but you got to be careful when you're really, really evaluating this thing.
Yeah, and Perrion Winfrey, another guy that continues to impress.
Absolutely.
That was one guy we saw the clip of, and then, you know, went back and it was confirmed, had a pretty good practice. But I do love getting to scrimmage against the Rams, because I do think everything that you said there, the motion that Sean McVay is going to use.
That was a problem. Yes, yeah.
He's going to put pressure defensively, but I think the positive was the offensive line and defensively, as the practice went on, it sounded
that's adjusted. That's what I heard. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you ended up getting some good things. And then the other thing was, look, we want this team to prove that they're going to be better running the football. And I think that they will. Yesterday, maybe not the best. Oh, okay, this is good for confidence. But the one thing that Sam sounded like it was this passing game. How are teams going to be able to contend with CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens and Jake Ferguson and Kevontae Turpin, I heard again, stole the show offensively.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, this team will find a way to run the football. They will. They will find a way to scheme it. They will find a way to, you know, I don't think if you look at the situation, the left tackle situation probably isn't the best right now. You know, you got Nate Thomas is trying to learn, you know, how he hadn't played football in over a year. You know, he's practicing. He's looking good in some reps. Playing against Verse. I mean, it looked like Verse's quickness gave him some problems. But I mean, like I said, offensively, they're going to figure out ways to scheme and run the football. The power gap scheme is going to be kind of the base, but they will figure out ways to game plan and try and do this a little bit better. But they really, you know, the left tackle situation, the left guard situation with Tyler Smith, I saw him out there, but I saw a lot of, in the clips I saw a lot of Bass. I saw a lot of Hoffman, you know. So that's what it is. I'm not making excuses. I just think there's things that they're going to do better. But defensively, you mentioned the Rams motion and stuff. It kind of messed with Dallas a little bit, because what happens, motion now makes scheme different. And like all of a sudden you're playing gaps, and now the motion changes the gaps. is what it does. So again, stuff you have to game plan for. If you go into this thing thinking we're going to play this thing straight up, and we're not probably going to look pretty good doing it, just probably playing straight up. But you have to account for gaps. And if motion, if motion from one side of the field to the other, it creates different gaps. So what happens when it creates different gaps? Different fits. So are guys where they absolutely need to be? Not making excuses again. One team clearly having an idea what they're going to do and what they, you know, and how they want to do it. Another team trying to put in a new offense, a new defense, and really not game planning for it very much. But, you know, if you want to say, okay, if we watch this practice and physically the Rams beat up on you, and I didn't get that vibe. I didn't get that vibe talking to people, but you know, if you say they got beat up on, then it's a little bit of a different story. But right now, like I said, it's one team, like I say, the Rams did a good job with their motion stuff, creating some issues for the Cowboys that the Cowboys now need to game plan for going forward.
Yeah, we've seen the pressure that can put on your linebackers, the hesitancy, and you're absolutely right. Now you're out of position. Now you don't have people where they need to be in their run fits. And, but again, as a scrimmage and preparing for the season, I love that this is the team that the Cowboys get to go up against.
Oh, sure.
Because you get to see it. And there's so much that you can take from that. You know, Brian, one guy that – and shout out to Aisha Morrison. She's been on this player. But I asked about him to multiple people. The one guy in the secondary that it sounds like Matt Eberflus has a plan for is Marquise Bell.
Bell, yeah.
And I did notice in the clips because I heard this and I went back and was like, okay – it did, and maybe Donovan Wilson, he's been battling with some stuff throughout camp. It might not be an indictment on Dono because we still saw Donovan Wilson running with the ones and Malik Hooker on the last padded practice we were out there with. But it sounds like Marquise Bell is getting a lot more run. And the one thing that I do like the idea of, because, hell, we saw Marquise Bell play linebacker for a full year. Mm-hmm. But, like, could he end up being a Jayron Kearse-esque chess piece for Matt Eberflus, where he's matched up against linebackers? And I mean, you got to find ways to get a player like that on the field because he does seem to understand and communicate on the back end some of this motion stuff.
Yeah, no, he is a very good communicator. He, Jack Sanborn, these are the guys that can do a lot for you when it comes to getting everybody lined up like you need to. And the thing with Bell, he's got a nose for the ball. He's a tackler. He's physical. I think Aisha is absolutely right about the player. I think he is going to get more opportunities as this wears on, you know, because they're going to need guys, like I say, that you know, when you're first starting off putting scheme in, you don't need to bust because you don't know what you're doing. You need to find a way to communicate to others, you know, make sure that everybody's on the same page. Bell clearly can do that. The year he played in the Dan Quinn scheme where he was a linebacker, really he's a nickel, a dime linebacker the whole time. He's a guy that survived being down in the box and making plays like that. And the fact is he's shown the coverage. I was hearing, you know, from people that even Sean McVay was talking about him, calling him out a little bit about, man, I see you 14. I see you. I mean, people were talking about that in practice. And he was trying to play a chess game with Bell, and Bell wasn't going to bite. So that part of it was super positive from what I was hearing.
Yeah, that's exciting. And then the other player I want to talk to you about, and you made this point Monday on the G-Bag Nation, and we didn't see anything good from him when we were out there at camp. But we oftentimes talk about the Eagles and their willingness to admit a mistake and move on. Mm-hmm. Is it time for the Cowboys to admit Mozzie Smith is not good and cut their losses?
Yeah, it's, unfortunately for Mozzie Smith, Mozzie's a very emotional player. And Mozzie is very much a guy that will wear his feelings on his sleeve. And football's a hard game. It's a really hard game. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that he tapped out of practice the other day thinking like Tuesday is going to be a long, bad day for me. But he played in the scrimmage yesterday. you know, it hasn't shown up like it needs to show up. I did not watch the practice tape. I have not seen it. I didn't see a lot of clips or anything. I didn't see him. Like the one clip of the run, the big run with Williams, it looked like Sam Williams was in bad shape, got knocked inside. Linebackers got pinned. It just was a bad play all around. It was them getting guys in space and, you know, and then Elam and guys, they didn't feel like they needed to fill. But with Mazi, you're seeing guys like Winfrey step up. You're seeing Solomon Thomas step up. You're seeing even King Bisonte, you know, you're seeing them. I mean, you know, I heard it wasn't a great day for Jay Toya playing yesterday. You know, JT was struggling a little bit. But why am I noticing them more than a guy that's a 3-year vet? You know, that to me is kind of where. And you gotta love football. If you're gonna play this game, you've gotta love football. You gotta love to be out there every day. And you know, I'm not gonna question Mazi Smith's toughness because playing football is a tough game, and he's on an NFL team. But I'm just telling you right now, this one looks like it's yeah. And we've got some preseason games. We'll see how it goes. But right now, where you thought there might be a little bit of like a little bit of some elevation to his game. It really hasn't shown up.
I'll question his want to. I'll question his heart, his desire. And I don't say that lightly.
No.
Because when we're on these type of platforms, you know, it gets back to the players and it gets back
Absolutely
to their families.
Does. Absolutely does.
So when we're going to say things like this, it carries weight. And I understand what I'm saying. I'll never question an NFL player's toughness because everything
Never.
You said, this is a tough sport.
Yeah.
But I can't instill a drive into somebody. There's only you can only do so much for a player.
Yeah.
And having now seen him 3 years at camp and some of the stuff talking around to people, I think that there is a massive desire and want to play. And I can't instill a drive in a player if it's not there. And that's my biggest question mark in Mazi. And I hope that he says, go F yourself. And goes out there and plays incredibly well. Because I don't think the Cowboys are going to move on from him because that's not their MO. They're very, very late to recognize, hey, we're willing to admit defeat on a first-round pick. They're going to give him every ounce of opportunity possible. And I hope that they end up getting rewarded for it. For me, everything you just said, he's blocking others now. And I don't have time anymore. This is the NFL. This isn't let's go ahead and coddle people's feelings. And I understand, hey, there's probably stuff that he's dealing with off the field. Human being-wise, I am very sensitive and aware, and I hope that he's okay mentally. But getting ready for an NFL season, I can't help you with that. You either got to want to be out there or you don't.
Yeah, the thing with that, that whole thing, too, with, you know, with you look at somebody like Mazi, and this is even what Will McClay said pre-draft. This year, before the 2025 draft, he talked about the type of players that they're looking for. And one of them was somebody that loves football, that loves. And, you know, if you go back and there were some questions about, does Tyler Guyton really love football? And so Will makes the comment of the last two first rounders where we're kind of like going, oh, wow, he just sent a message to his scouting department that, listen, no more. Of this, no. If a player doesn't like to play football, if it's not important to him, you know. But that's on Will, and that's on Stephen Jones. And you and I had the pleasure of talking to Stephen Jones, you know, at the media party. And Stephen was very honest about that. He goes, like, we wear this stuff. We do. We wear it. We understand. And people are gonna come to the chat and say, well, what? Do something about it then. Do something about it. You know, I want to believe that they will. I want to believe maybe drawing the line in the sand on Micah Parsons is a way to try and do something about all these contracts being out of whack. You know, maybe they are going to, but I they have to wear the Mazi Smith pick right now. It just has not worked out like it needs to be. That's on the scouts, the front office, the coaches, and the player. That it is a full. They thought they had something in this player, and they really didn't. That you need to go back and evaluate why you appear to have missed on this pick.
You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We will get to the Dean Julia mailbag here shortly, but let's just get this out of the way. I do want to go over the depth chart with you. I thought that was interesting. So if you need time to kind of get that up, I'd love to pick your brain on that. But let's just give the latest on what the hell is going on with Micah and Jerry and our buddy Bobby Belt. Actually got to talk with David Mulligetti yesterday.
Sure did.
And just went on the morning show, shared a little bit of what he was told in that conversation. The big takeaway for me, man, they are serious in they want to be traded. It seems like and hey, this could always be kind of a contractual bluff, if you will, but it does sound like they're very willing to do so. But as we both know, listening to Jerry talk and spending time with others that are decision makers in the organization, Cowboys have no desire to trade Micah.
No.
Where does this go from here? I hope this thing gets done, but it does sound like maybe you're right. Maybe the Cowboys are saying, dude, we can tag you for 2 more years. We can save some money. This either gets done or it doesn't get done, and we're not going to be the ones to make the first move.
Yeah, it sounds like, too, from Micah's camp that they would like the Cowboys to make the first move, that they would like the Cowboys. I think this very much is a – say what you want about Jerry Jones and the way he negotiates. He is an 80-year-old gentleman who has done things kind of his way when it comes to negotiating, whether it's football players, oil business, real estate, whatever they've had to do. Jerry is very much a get rid of the middleman type of a person. And I've experienced that myself with Jerry when it came to drafting players. And I give the example of Quincy Carter. When it came time to evaluate Quincy Carter, he cleared the room. He got rid of all of his middlemen who were going to tell him why don't draft Quincy Carter. You know, he wanted to say, okay, let's figure this thing out. Jerry is very much a, I think there's very mixed signals going on. I think Jerry thought one thing. I think Micah thought another. I think they felt like that they were making progress when they talked, that maybe that's what the parameters were, or maybe we could do this and maybe we can work this out. You know, and Jerry was interested, okay, let's put, you know, let's, but David Mulugeta will say, well, wait, there was no offer and there was no this and no that. And there's questions about, was Mulugeta waiting for other deals to get done? Well, he didn't know. I mean, he didn't know what deals were going to get done. And so to me, this is very much a Jerry believing that he and the player had hammered out something, some type of an agreement, some initial like, okay. And the fact that he talked to the player this way, and we all know Micah. Micah will engage in conversation. Micah now makes a living like you and I talking on platforms. You know, he's the first one that Jerry Jones has had to deal with that will fight things in the media. He's all these contracts he's done throughout his tenure with the Dallas Cowboys have been about, you know, it hasn't had to deal with a player who is very media savvy. So anytime that Jerry says something, Mike is going to say, you know, and even though David Mulugeta is going to just keep quiet. Micah doesn't do that. But we do know this about Micah. There's no doubt in my mind that Mike and Jerry talked contract. No doubt in my mind. How many times? We don't know that. That's the thing. How many times did, you know, was it a back and forth? Was it one time, two times, three times? Were there more opportunities? Did, you know, where is this thing really, really, really at? And so to me, I think this is very much mixed signals that, you know, and I have no doubt in my mind that Micah engaged with Jerry in talk. I have no doubt in my mind that happened, you know. But then David Mulugeta said, whoa, let's make sure we do this the right way. And that's cool. That's, you know, but I was talking to Jane Slater about this the other day. You know, Jane and I have kind of shared the same experience about, you know, you have an agent, but then you have a situation where you kind of hammer out terms with somebody and then they send you an offer sheet and you look over and, okay, that looks good and all that. Well, this is probably where the disconnect is. Like there was no, once maybe that Jerry and Micah were hammering out terms, there was nothing executed in a way of like, here you go, Micah, here's the terms that you and I agreed to. I'll get Adam on that. I got an idea of what you want to get and we'll do that. And I'll hand you one of these. And so with that not being done, here's the disconnect. Here's the complete disconnect right there. So I just think it's mixed signals. I think Jerry thought he had something. Micah probably agreed to some things. Micah probably gave Jerry an idea of some parameters he wanted to deal with. And then David Mulugeta rightfully steps in and says, whoa, okay, no, there was nothing, no writing, no offer, no, you know, nothing that Micah, there's nothing that David Mulugeta or Micah could say, okay, that's the terms. You know, right. There you go. That's the terms. And it didn't happen that way. So that's why I think it's a problem. Yeah. Exactly. I think it's a problem. I think it's a problem now. And I think that Jerry's upset because he thought he had some parameters and something done. Mike is upset because he didn't get the deal done. And David Mulugeta is really upset because he wasn't involved in the initial meetings that Jerry and Micah Parsons had. I'd like to be a fly on the wall for those because we all know, like I said, Micah engages in conversation. He's a conversationalist. You know, he's like, well, what about this, Jerry? Well, what about that, Micah? What about this, Jerry? What about this, Jerry? What about this, Micah? What? In 2 hours, you just don't sit there and talk about how good the food at the Star is. Oh, man, that's one of the best Wagyu cheeseburgers I've ever had. Oh, wow, did you want another one? No. If there was meetings with Jerry and there were 2 and 3 hours, to me, there was some substantial talks on both sides, Micah on his behalf and Jerry on his behalf. And that's where the disconnect is, I think. Mm-hmm. That's where the disconnect is with this whole thing. And again, how many times have we had these conversations? You know, that's another thing that maybe one day we'll kind of learn.
Yeah, and Jerry's floated out, you know, some guaranteed numbers that he's put out there, and he's clearly upset. And I understand from his perspective, when you think you have a deal and a handshake agreement, you know, going back to as long as he's been negotiating, oftentimes that's good enough to say, all right, we got a deal.
He's right about he's right about buying the Cowboys from Bum Bright. He bought the Cowboys that way. Yeah.
Yes. But in 2025 now, you're absolutely right. A lot of these players, and Micah and Jerry's acknowledged it. Micah's smart. Micah's quick. And so Micah's like, well, hold up now, dude. Yeah. I got to get something in writing. And I'm not going to – I didn't hire David Mulligetta, the most powerful agent, and was just ranked by Forbes in all of sports for no reason. I've got him here for a reason, and he's going to negotiate for me. So he needs to look over terms, which you never sent over. So that deal now is not on the table anymore, per Jerry telling us, according to Micah's side. And they just need to and from David Mulligetta, from talking with Bobby, it doesn't sound like they're not willing to talk. It's just, to your point, the Cowboys need to engage. And I think that even going back, Bobby mentioned 2024 Combine in March or February. They said, hey, let's get a deal done. Cowboys said, look, we got other stuff we got to work on. You got to pay Dak. You got to pay CD. That's fine. But even now, and once you get into the season, it sounded as if Mike is done. Mike is not – when you're in the season, Mike is not going to talk contract anymore. So you've got a few weeks left to get this thing ironed out. And it went up until the first game of the season to get Dak done. Maybe that's what happens with Micah. But it is, as a Cowboy fan, I understand the frustration. Why is this now becoming a cycle where every player that's going to be paid at the top of the market – I'm not talking about the Fergies and the Osadigizuas and the Steels that you can get a deal done because they're 5 through 15 or whatever it is in their position group. The top of the market guys, going back to Zeke, CD, Zach Martin trying to get some more money holding out a couple years ago. Dak, now with Micah, is it going to happen with Tyler Smith? Is that the next one if they don't get that done early? It is frustrating. They're one of 32 teams that operates this way, but they are unique. And I do think they live in somewhat of a warped sense of reality a little bit. And they like the way they do business, and they don't give a damn what anybody else thinks about it.
No, you're right about that. And, you know, like I say, I would start to worry when Micah starts missing games and he leaves $1.8 million on the table every week. If he starts missing games, now start to worry. I think there's still time to put this together and to hammer out something. Like, it's going to have to be somebody stepping up and saying, okay, let's do this. If I was Micah Parsons, I'd leave camp. I'd leave. You have to show the Cowboys that you're not willing to be there anymore. That would make a statement more than asking to be traded. It's not going to trade you. Not going to trade you. You know, you could talk about wanting to be around leadership and all that. No. If you walked out right now and started just taking the $50,000 a day fine, and these fines, because he's on a rookie contract, could be rescinded. You know, you could get a grace period for that at the end of the day. The Cowboys don't believe that you're going to miss game checks. They don't. You're sitting there every single day not getting fined $50,000. They see that as a, you know, you're not willing to give up money. In my opinion, and I could be dead balls wrong about this, but if Micah were to just right now say, I'm leaving camp, and start to now you've shown them that you're willing to give up money. You're willing to. They don't believe you're willing to give up money right now. And they could sit there and hold this against you because they see it. It's evident. You're willing to go out on that practice field every single day to honor your contract, which is the right thing. I mean, it'd be nice if you were playing, but right now they're looking at you like, You won't sit and lose $1.8 million. You won't do that. You know, you're the one that's going to be caving, not us. That's probably their attitude about it. And he needs to show a willingness that, okay, I'll take fines. I won't be here. Now you play without me. We'll see what happens. But right now the Cowboys are looking at him like, bro, he's sitting here every day, and he can talk about leadership and being around the guys and all that. You got to prove to the Joneses that you really are serious. The trade stuff, they'll go, yeah, fine. You want to be traded, fine. We control that. We're the ones that control that. You don't control that. We control that.
Yeah, because he has shown – I thought he would leave the day that he put out the trade request, and he didn't.
I did too.
That was very telling. That's when it's like, okay, well, you don't want to get fined $50K, and you're darn sure not going to miss out on a $1.4 million game check. So if I'm the Cowboys, I'll call your bluff. I'll call your bluff, man.
See, that's the thing about it. If Micah were to really show that the Cowboys that he doesn't want to be around, well, then there you go. That's the ticket. That's the ticket. You know, now you're forcing their hand a little bit. But right now, they believe that you will show up every single day and practice and not practice because you're saving $50,000. How bought in are you if that's the case? How 100% bought in are you? Yeah, that's you got to show like you're committed. If you're Micah, you got to show, you know, your trade talk thing has no teeth, teeth, because they're not going to trade you. But if you were to not show up, that's out of sight, out of mind kind of a thing. That's a different story.
The other layer is the NFLPA is not happy. And the Cowboys, to your point, Jerry cutting out the middleman, like this isn't new of them trying.
This isn't new with Jerry.
Talk to the player.
This is not new.
But if the Players Association is upset about something like this,
sure they are.
They've got to put in the next collective bargaining agreement something in the terms of you can't negotiate with a player without his representation. Now, there are certain players, and I believe Lamar Jackson is one, that represent themselves. That would be a separate issue. But if you can't be upset about it, you can be upset, but there's really nothing you can do about it unless you actually put physically in a collective bargaining agreement, hey, Jerry or whatever other organization wants to do business like that, you're not allowed to. You can't try and go ahead and box out an agent and get this thing done without them. Because right now it's fair play to Jerry and anybody else that wants to do that. There's nothing in writing that says that's not legal.
No. But also the NFL Players Association needs to get their front office in order too.
That's true.
I mean, you're asking them to put something in place, but they can't kind of keep themselves together at the leadership, which is really unfortunate. The players pay the highest union dues, I believe, of any union in the country, and to have leadership misuse funds and do things crazy. A lot of these players don't know what their leadership guys do. You know, they give their money and then they hope that everything's taken care of for them. But, you know, like I said, you're asking the NFL Players Association to do something that, like I say, they can't even keep they can't keep their pants on, it sounds like. So anyway.
Yeah, they're having a lot of fun there at Magic City.
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to touch on before we went to Dean Julian, maybe I shouldn't have said touch on, but the unofficial depth chart that was released there. How often do you see these ors? Like you got Jalen Tolbert or Kevontae Turpin as your wide receiver three. You got Maris Leofau or Damone Clark as your third starting linebacker. I thought some of those or designations were a little bit interesting. And I know some of it probably has to do with injury. Like you got Diggs who would be starting for Elam. Elam's obviously in the starting lineup. I mean, you can go down the list with a couple of injuries that we know of. Nate Thomas, that would be Tyler Guyton, you'd assume. But the or designations, like, okay, I don't think I'd seen this with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, it's really not. And it's funny because Jim Nagy, who's used to run the Senior Bowl, put out a tweet yesterday because he's the general manager of the Oklahoma Sooner football program. And he had a tweet and said, nothing more meaningless than training camp too deep, you know? And in a way, he's right. You know, it's going to be, you will start to see when they get back from Oxnard and start practicing at the Star, you will see the depth chart. You will see, I mean, right now it's or because, you know, but let me say this. The fact that Damone Clark is even in an or situation, that has to be encouraging for him. You know, I mean, I've said this so many platforms, I'm on a million of them now, that he was a crossroads player. He was take a right and you're going to be playing in Tennessee next year or Jacksonville or someplace like that. Take a left and you're still on the Dallas Cowboys. The fact that he's taking the path of trying to be on the left and not be on the right, I think is huge. And so some of these things, I think the fact that how much they use Turpin as an or, you know, I have not believed that Tolbert's position as the third wide receiver is that's a pencil thing for me. That's written in pencil. That ain't written in pen. So some of these ors you can look at and say, oh, okay, that makes sense. But you can also look at him as like, have the player who's the second half of the or has probably done a pretty damn good job. Turpin, done a pretty damn good job in the opportunities he's had. Clark, opportunities he's had, done a pretty damn good job. So the second half of the ors kind of gets your attention, because that to me tells you that they're having a decent camp.
No question. And the one thing, and I've talked to you about this with Damone Clark, I'm excited and I'm optimistic, but we've seen Damone Clark have good camps. We just need that to translate. You know, let's see. Cause, and he's had flashes. Like that New England game a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He saw it. Like the read reaction, the diagnose, the lack of hesitancy. It was there. Like Damone Clark is capable. It's just unfortunately the consistency has been an issue with him throughout his
career. Been a big problem. He was a crossroads player, and but you're not wrong. I cannot dispute anything that you're saying right now.
And the last thing that I want to address is, you know, you brought up the wide receivers with Damone Clark with Jalen Tolbert, and you know, our buddy Foots the King on YouTube. And yeah, I mean, I had so many people going back and forth with me in the comments. I ranked as well, like the five wide receivers that I thought played the best. And Tolbert's had some like okay days, I think, since we left. I don't believe Tolbert, to your point, is in any jeopardy of not making this roster. But a guy like Trajan Holden out of Oregon, I mean, he did stand out to me, and I thought was better than Jalen Tolbert, at least in practices. I don't believe that he's going to be a player that will be ahead of him when it's all said and done. But yeah, there are some of these guys, and we'll see in preseason games, that are fighting for maybe that last wide receiver spot. I mean, Jalen Brooks had a good day with Joe Milton yesterday. Yeah. Ryan Flannoy is another one of these guys they like. Yep. It's also a very capable blocker. So, yep. I mean, they're going to have to make some decisions. And I do think Tolbert should be more of a bubble guy. They don't. I don't think for a second they think that way. I was just speaking for myself. And I do think there's other wide receivers to me that have some upside where I'd look to maybe trade or move on from Tolbert. But they're not going to do that.
No, they won't. And like I said, I think to me, Brian Schottenheimer said it the best the other day, and I've talked about it on our shows, those days, those quiet days, when you have a quiet day. And there'll be – Tolbert will have a day where like two practices ago, where he is on fire. I mean, he's making every play. He's making every adjusting catch. He's running every route. And then you'll have three quiet practices. You know, he just needs to be more consistent. We've all seen the ability. We've seen the ability to catch. We've seen the ability to get open. But he has too many days where he's really, really good, and then 2 days where he's quiet. Needs more days of where, okay, really good day, really good day, really good day. He hasn't had that. And that's why the questions of Tolbert are being asked right now.
You are listening to Love the Star podcast. Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, let's zip through this Dean Julia mailbag because I'm going to have to put the Dan hat on, slide over.
I hear it.
She's ready. She's ready for breakfast, and I'm going to have to go over there and relieve wifey who needs to head into work. So let's get a couple of questions in here. From RW1234, who do you think is the tank replacement at defensive end day one to start the season?
The guy that's playing the best right now that on that edge spot, Peyton Turner's, I think, playing better inside than he is outside. But I think Peyton Turner's done a really good job over there. I wouldn't be surprised if Marshawn Nealon is that guy over there. Nealon's shown they're kind of playing him left and right. But I wonder if they're thinking about more pass rush with a balance. I think you get more pass rush and run defense play from Nealon than you do Turner. But Turner looks like, to me, they've kind of figured out how to put him in at that nickel, at that tackle. And he's been able to make some quick rushes and be that and that type of player. I think it's going to come down to Nealon or Turner over there, myself. And then with Ezeraku, possibly, if there's no Micah Parsons, Ezeraku will be your primary rusher, I believe. On the other side, we'll see him and Fowler and those guys kind of switch off. But I think they're going to play with probably most teams are right-handed when it comes to running the ball and stuff. You want to kind of put a little bit of a power guy over there, Nealon, Turner. Sam Williams, as I said, was playing the left end yesterday on the long Kyren Williams run. That might not be. He might be more of a right side player as a rusher.
All right. This is from Mavs Cow Disease. Mm-hmm. What do you expect from BB this year? Is he potentially a Pro Bowl level center, or is he being overly optimistic?
Oh, I think that there's, you know, to be a Pro Bowl center, that's a really high honor. And, you know, now with Frank Ragnow retiring and stuff, we'll see how things, you know, play out with, you know, centers. I'm trying to think of the centers around in the NFC, but BB is very capable. The growth of him from one year to the next, I think, has shown. I think as the season wore on last year, he got better. Mm-hmm. The second level blocks, the combo blocks, those kinds of things. I think that BB, the pass protection, there was a twist stunt. I saw in a clip that they tried to run Dak through the ball downfield. They tried to throw the twist. They tried to run the exchange game on him, and he was right there, sat there, boom, took the defender on, ball out. So awareness, top level, blocking ability is at times can be really, really good. Needs to be more square at times. I mean, maybe some of the second level blocks, if you're watching the tape, he got out there and got a little turned, didn't hit square. Those are things when you're all pro center, like the Travis Frederick, you get second level and that guy's pinned. You know, you're not like fighting the guy to the play. You got it pinned and you got it put inside there. And I think that's where BB, to be that Pro Bowl center, needs to be that type of guy. And eventually he could get there.
Yeah, I guess it's in his own division, Cam Jurgens. That'd be
Cam Jurgens. Yeah,
way to get better than. And like I don't think you're being too optimistic. I think BB's capable of it. I love the guy, but I don't know. I'm not gonna throw out Pro Bowl yet, to be unfair. Mm-hmm. But I do think he's gonna have a big time year. I'm excited about Cooper BB. He just looks so much more powerful. The size, it's clicking for him. You can see it. All right, Big Ben is 77. Does Phil Maffa have a legit chance to contribute? They think he's staying under the radar and has the tools to be pretty good.
Yeah. Kind of the, you know, when they run the power gap scheme, he's that inside one cut guy. That's kind of his game. When they develop that, you know, we'll see with Sanders and Blue looks like he's totally comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. When the pads have come on, Blue has got his vision, his cutting ability has gotten much better. But yeah, Maffa is more of a power guy. He's not a nifty guy. For a guy his size, though, he's got some pretty good footwork, but he's kind of a one-cut, straight-ahead kind of guy. If that's the scheme, if they're going to play power gap scheme and they're going to get really good at it, that's where Phil Maffa has a chance.
Yeah, I'd like to move on from one of the veteran guys, keep whichever one you think's better, and then rock with Blue and Maffa. That would be, I like Maffa. I think he's going to play really well in the preseason, but he might end up being a practice squatter when it's all said and done. They might say, look, we like Sanders and Williams and Blue and Lipke. And sorry, Phil, you're going to have to sit on the practice squad unless somebody else claims you.
The first offense ran a goal line play or ran some goal line plays. And – or actually, I take that back. It was the second offense. And the goal line plays, instead of Maffa, it was Hunter Lipke that they took direct snap, handed it inside, and then he scored on the play. So if they're not using Phil Maffa down there that way, that might be a little bit of a sign with what's going on.
Shane Carter asks, Nate Thomas has had a good summer so far.
Yeah.
Enough so that he's getting OT1 reps after losing Guyton. But since he hasn't played really in over a year, how much leeway do you think they're going to give him in the preseason going into week one if Guyton's not ready to go?
I think that job is open, and it's not just because of Jared Verse, but Jared Verse is a difficult guy to block. You could be an all pro and have a hard time blocking him. He's proven that. So nothing against he. There's times where he's been really good, knee bend, balance, body control, hands, feet, all those things. And then there's been times where he's got run by, and he got run by a little bit yesterday from the clips that I saw. But there were some plays where a little bit later on, they were able to kind of get things controlled where they got Verse taken care of. I saw one time where Ferguson chipped the heck out of him in the ribs and it slowed Verse down. There's ways like that to help Nate Thomas if he has to play. But I would be interested to see if Lyle Collins get some work at left tackle as we got 3 or so weeks left of camp. I'd be interested to see if in fact that, you know, him playing on the right side, will he get some left tackle reps, you know, with Austin Richards as well. Adeniji, maybe they're going to try and just kind of put a lot of bodies at it in the preseason and see which one of those stick better. But the possibility of Guyton, and let's be honest though, Guyton was making progress. And we're all encouraged by Guyton, but Guyton might be just like Nate Thomas. And I mean, he might be just as, you know, he hasn't played a lot of games. So, I think they're going to throw some bodies at it and see which one of these is better off maybe for week one against Philly.
All right, let's close it down with Drew Cagle. Who will be the most surprising cut from this team based on what you've seen so far? Long way to go, but they're just curious if you think there'll be one.
Oh, that's a good question because I'd have to go through. I think that he'll probably be one of these wide receivers. Yeah. I think he'll probably be one of the wide receivers that gets, you know, will Flournoy, which one of that group of the Flournoy, Brooks, which one of that group is, you know, going to be the guy that might be shown the door. I thought maybe tight end initially, but I think they're going to keep the three tight ends. I don't think John Stevens and those guys have done enough. Fairweather, I think it's going to be the three that they're working with right now. You know, when as we Schoonmaker and and Spanford and then Ferguson. I think that will be that's the group. I don't see anything on the offensive line that might, there might be a cut. There might be a cut of a guy that looked like that. Wow. That guy, maybe they thought about him as a potential backup, maybe even a starter. And that, you know, it's just not working out like it probably should be.
What about Awesome Richards?
I don't know about, I, you know me, and it's hard for me to get rid of Awesome Richards because I think he can play tackle, he can play guard,
yeah.
But I wouldn't, I can't fight you on that. That would be a surprise one to me, but I don't know if I can do that. I think the wide receiver, I think it's going to be on offense where the surprise cut's going to come from. I don't think it's going to be a defensive one.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. It might end up being two of those wide receivers.
But yeah.
I've just been stunned at, like, I thought Awesome Richards would get the first crack at left tackle. And I thought he looked good at camp. But
I did too.
I don't know. It's kind of weird how they're like, Awesome Richards kind of getting buried behind some of these other players. I wonder if he's kind of falling out of favor for whatever reason.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you very much, Brian. Anything before we get out of here?
Nope, man. All good.
All right. Well, we love you. Thank you so much for listening to Love of the Star. Make sure you're also liking, subscribing to Crown Global Media as well.
Thank you, man.
We got a lot
appreciate
of stuff in the works there. We'll be back. Don't worry. We'll have another episode coming up later on this week. You've been listening to Love of the Star podcast. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app wherever you get your podcasts. That's Brian Broaddus. I'm Zach Wolchek. Until next time, hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.